Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Chicago trial attorney Karen Conti. Karen, good morning. I have many questions about cases involving Donald Trump this morning. First, we hear that he is going to testify in his civil trial. I thought Donald Trump's lawyers did not want him to do that. What is the goal here?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure what the goal is, other than, you know, there's, again, there's the politics part of this, and then there's the trial part of this. And I think that there's the strategy is really being driven by the politics. And he did testify before, and now he's going to testify on behalf of the defense, which means he's going to get a freer ability to testify as he wants. So that his lawyer is going to ask him questions to counter the allegations that he inflated his wealth. So, you know, we're going to see more of the same. I'm sure we're going to see a lot of objections. We're going to see a lot of irrelevant objections. And he's going to probably have an open mic here to testify about how great his companies were and how he did nothing wrong.
But can't the prosecution, or does the prosecution get to cross-examine him?
Yes, they do. They absolutely do. And, you know, again, this is a bench trial. So the judge has pretty much, you know, made up his mind that there was fraud. I mean, he has made up his mind prior to trial, ruled, you know, as a matter of law, that these were inflated assets. And now there's just a few details to figure out from the judge's standpoint. And the judge has to determine what the remedy is and what the, is it going to be a fine? Is it going to be a barring of him doing business in New York? So the judge is watching his conduct. And again, I don't know that it behooves him to do what he's been doing, knowing that the judge really has his businesses in on the gavel here.
What's the importance of the story that Vice President Pence his notes revealed he considered not presiding over the January 6th electoral count, and Donald Trump's lawyers have asked for any records concerning dealings that the Justice Department had with Mike Pence. What's that all about?
It is interesting because I think I at least thought that Pence was all along, you know, ready to do what was right, which was to certify the election and move forward. And he did say, Pence did say in a deposition that, you know, he told Donald Trump, he said, you know what, you have a constitutional duty, run next time if you want, but step down, thank your supporters, and move forward. And, you know, so I think, you know, from a standpoint of Trump is, I mean, Pence is going to be a very good prosecution witness in this case about the January 6th, incitement of violence, whatever those charges are. So I think that it shows that he was so, my understanding from what I read, that he was so, concerned about, and people were putting such pressure on him that he considered not doing it. But then he turned around and did what I think is the right thing, which is to certify the election and preside over it and move forward.
A case getting some press around here in Hinsdale. A mother sued Hinsdale South, alleging her son's First Amendment rights were violated when he didn't make the varsity basketball team. First Amendment issue? Really?
Yeah, until you read it, you kind of go, what is that about? Is that helicopter parenting at its worst? Mm. Apparently, this boy was, he claimed he was bullied by the coach, and he had some medical issues, and he claimed that the coach didn't treat him very well. And there was a hearing on it, and the school concluded that he wasn't treated very well. It didn't arise to the level of bullying, but that the coach was then, I believe he was let go. And then the new coach came in and didn't put him on the team. And the new coach was friends with the old coach. So the idea was that because this young man spoke up, he exercised his First Amendment to complain. And as a result, he was retaliated against. Hmm. And I think that was the crux of it. But now I understand, as of yesterday, he was reinstated to the team. So now I guess he is on the team.
We heard recently that Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer who's serving time, was stabbed by an inmate in the Arizona prison where he is. And does he have any recourse against the prison? And could this be a reason for an early release for him?
I don't know that it's going to be a reason for early release. But, you know, it's very difficult when you have a defendant and an incarcerated person, you know, in such a racially charged case. You know, there are people in prison, obviously, who have nothing to lose. They're in there for life. They're violent people. And, you know, certain gangs actually give the other people in the prison, incentives to do these kinds of things. So yeah, if he can show that this prison didn't do what it needed to do to protect him, he could have a lawsuit. And my understanding is the stabbing was pretty serious. Again, you know, you can't protect somebody in a prison 100%, and you can't put him in solitary confinement for 20 years, whatever his sentence is, which is just, I think, over 20 years. You know, you can't do that because it drives people crazy. So there's a thin line here between letting him do what he needs to do to live his life and to protect him from harmful inmates.
Finally, Karen, explain how this law works. In New York, this just went into effect, prohibiting discrimination based on height and weight. Now, what if that matters for a job, height and weight? You know, for example, if you want to be a fireman, and do we have a law like this here in Illinois?
Actually, we don't, and it's been proposed, and being overweight is not a protected class. You know, the protected classes are like race and gender, and if you're pregnant, and you know, religious beliefs, and military service, and even in some cases in Chicago, your sexual preferences. Those are all protected classes, but we don't have a protected class in Illinois for overweight people. New York now does, and I think, you know, looking at the history of the law, they were saying that employers really do discriminate against people who are short, people who are overweight, and they want to put an end to that. The question here, though, is like, how do you determine whether you got hired or didn't get hired because of your weight? Mm-hmm. That's a real hard thing to do. And, you know, it's, and going back to what you said, the exception to the rule here is going to be if it does matter. So I'm quite sure there's going to be an exception for people like firefighters and people who need to be agile and need to do their job, you know, in a way that, you know, that if you're 400 pounds, you can't do that job. You can't get into space. You can't run. You can't do those things. So
right, yeah.
there will be an exception for those types of jobs.
I would think. Karen Conde, thank you, and have a good day.
You too.